You're listening to the Sisters in Loss podcast, a faith-based grief and loss podcast for Black women, where you will hear stories of miscarriage, infant loss, stillbirth, and infertility to learn there is a testimony in tragedy. You will learn how to heal, gain clarity, find hope and peace, and turn your pain into your purpose after loss. I'm your host, Erica M. McAfee.
Well, thank you so much, Whitney, for being on the podcast.
Yes, thank you for having me.
I would love for you to begin by sharing with the listeners a little bit about yourself and what you do.
Well, I was an educator for 8 years. I worked in a district here in Houston, and I taught. I was a second grade teacher. I was a literacy coach for a while. Then I went back to be a fifth grade teacher. And I recently resigned from education. So now I'm just like finding new career paths, you know. So
awesome. Yeah. I love the career transition. Awesome. So yeah. I would love for you to take us back on your journey to motherhood and share with us your loss story.
It kind of happened. Really quick, I'll say I met my now boyfriend maybe about 5 years ago, it'll be. And before I met him, I remember going to the doctor because something wasn't feeling right. I went to my OB just because I was like having pain and stuff. And I'm like, and I hadn't had a cycle in a very long time. And so I was like, let me just go see if everything's okay. And so when I went in, the ultrasound tech basically told me I had PCOS. Well, not the ultrasound tape, but the ultrasound showed that I basically had PCOS and polycystic ovaries. And so my doctor was very worried because I didn't have any eggs. She told me I had no eggs, which is scary to hear. I'm like, 25 at the time, I believe. And she was like, and the lining in my uterus was very thin, which is why I wasn't having a cycle. My body basically wasn't releasing any eggs. And she said it was due to the PCOS. So I never heard of that before. So I did all my research and, I changed my diet. And from what I know, she said I wasn't a normal candidate because I didn't show any other symptoms. Cause usually you have these symptoms like you're overweight and, or, you gain weight quickly and you have all these things. And I basically didn't check off any of those things on the list except for the cyst in my ovary. So I still changed my diet and, started drinking lots of water, eating less sugar, just basically I kind of put myself like on a pre-diabetic diet. And before I knew it, I met my now boyfriend, and then we dated for a couple years. And in September 2018, I found out I was pregnant. Wasn't trying, but it was a surprise, but it was all, I wasn't worried or anything. I was, I was happy. I was at a time of my life where, I had a career, I had supportive family, I was in a supportive relationship. So, it was a very exciting time. So it was a really great pregnancy. Everything was new to me. I was one of those like moms where I'm like, I'm not eating this. I'm not doing that. I'm going to, my doctor has to do it. I'm going to do it. And then I noticed I started getting like out of breath a lot, but that's normal with pregnancy. But I felt like I was getting out of breath way too much. And I don't know if it's because I was like working all day, like being, the coach at my school, like always on my feet. And so I went into the doctor and they sent me in for an ultrasound kind of to look at my heart and an echograph. And everything panned out normal from that. Like they had me wear this machine and everything panned out normal. And it was like, you're just out of breath. That's just, it's what it is. And so I had no complications, no anything. And I remember this was March, I'll say 8th. It was a Friday. And I woke up like I always did in the middle of the night to use the restroom. And I remember we had this thing because like if I woke up in the middle of the night, she would wake up in the middle of the night. And I remember waking up and I didn't feel her stretch. Like I usually, she would like, I would get her like, she was still, she wasn't head down yet. So I guess I would get her like head under my ribs and I'd be like, oh, there she is. And so I didn't feel that. So I'm like, that's different, but maybe she's just asleep. Let me wake her up. And so I went to the kitchen and I chugged some cold water, which usually anything cold would arouse her. And I didn't feel anything. I'm like, this is, at that moment, I felt like it was becoming strange. And so I drank root beer because that was my addiction during her pregnancy. And I knew for a fact if I drank root beer, I would definitely like wake her up. And so I drank the root beer and nothing. Now, I did have a Doppler at home and I knew how to use it for the most part. And she had gotten so big that it was easy for me to find her heartbeat. And I remember getting the Doppler. And at this time, I hadn't woken up my boyfriend yet. He was still asleep. And I got the Doppler and I couldn't find her heartbeat. And so I woke him up and I'm like, I just said something isn't right. And he was like, okay, it's fine. We'll go to the hospital. We'll make sure everything is okay. And in my mind, the series of events that led after this, it came across my mind. And so I remember we drove down to the hospital, maybe like 15 minutes from where we were. And before we walked in, I remember my boyfriend stopped and he was like, let's just do a prayer. And so we prayed and we went in and I went into the, you go to a special emergency room for labor and delivery. And I had just that day, because I remember I turn weeks every Thursday. So it was Friday morning, but very early because it was in the AM. So I had barely like turned 29 weeks pregnant. And I remember going into the room. They're like, okay, we'll put you on. And, because usually everything is fine. So no one had any alert or like, and then the first time I felt like something really wasn't right is when the nurse couldn't find the heartbeat and they laid me back and, and then next thing I know, the doctor's coming in with the ultrasound. And that's when we heard the news that, you never imagined hearing. And they basically told me that my baby girl didn't have a heartbeat. After that, it was a blur. Had to be like 3 a.m. in the morning and the doctor was screaming that I didn't have to go in for an emergency C-section and she's breached, so I can't deliver naturally and I need to do this and do that. And I thank God in that moment that, my boyfriend was able to, in that moment, to be like, well, let's go to your doctor. Because, my doctor had been there with me through everything. And, we went home. I called my doctor and, we went home and we packed our, I had a semi-packed bag because I was, going like 30 weeks, going on 30 weeks. So I wanted to get my hospital bag prepared. I had watched all these YouTube videos on it. And so I had it kind of prepared. So I just took that and we drove to where my doctor was. And I remember that being like the longest drive ever. And my mom met us there and his parents met us there. And, I was able to deliver her naturally with the help of, Pitocin, but no epidural, which was, an experience of its own. And we were able to spend some time with her. And then, we had to say goodbye.
Thank you for sharing that. So what were that next week like? Did you have a memorial or some type of funeral for her? Where did you all name her?
Well, her name is Amari. We decided to get her cremated. We memorialized her in our own way. I felt like for me, a funeral was a bit much, and not taking that from anybody who's ever done that. Just, for me and my family, I felt it to be closer to her and to like, handle her passing the best way that I knew how. And the next couple weeks, it was hard. Thank God I had my family around me. My boyfriend, I just remember not wanting to do anything. And I remember he would make us get out the bed. Sorry. You know, just try to focus on the positive. And we actually, because we live past the Willings and Magnolia at the time, and our parents live so far away. So I remember actually his parents allowed us to come and stay with them. And oh my God, that just, it was the best thing to always have people make sure that we ate, make sure that we were bathing, make sure that we're okay. And I'll say that's what really helped us, like having the support of our family. And obviously for me, it was turning to God, because I was at rock bottom and I didn't know what to do. And he was the only one who had the answers for me at that time.
So let's talk about your faith. How was your faith? Did it grow stronger? Did you question God in those months? How did that part of your grief journey go?
I'm not going to lie and say, didn't I question God, right? Because when something like that happens, you question. But me questioning him did not take away. And you hear a lot of lost moms say this, I'm sure, is you won't always feel this way, right? Not this exact moment. Like, you won't always feel that. And that is so true. So my grief journey is just like from where it was to now, like leaning in on God and building my faith in God and just trusting in him. You know, that's what really helped me get through, was thinking like, I'm not always going to be this down. Like, I'm not always going to feel my grief this hard. It's not going to be this heavy always. And I think that's what I held on to. And that's what really helped. And like, of course, my mom community, I call them, and I still talk to them every day. And you know, they're on my they're on my Instagram all the time, and it's just so nice to like still be able to reach out. And you know, whenever you have those moments, to just reach out and have someone who, like, no one knows exactly what you've gone through, but to have somebody who can relate, because it seems like you're so alone. Because this community, though it seems big to us, it's really small. Like, even my mom, she's had 4 kids. She didn't know how to comfort me because this has never happened to her. And so, you know, it was just nice knowing. It's so weird, but you find comfort knowing that you're not alone. Not that you want this to happen to anybody else, but, you know, you just, it makes you feel a sense of, like, relief that you're not the only one.
Absolutely. And community is so important. And I love that you had your family support as well as a community of women that you met online. I would love for you to share more about what happened. Did you get an autopsy on her? Were they able even to give you some diagnosis or conclusion on if you got pregnant again, what would occur?
Well, Amari was perfectly healthy. I didn't get an autopsy. The only thing, and I remember this so vividly, because I said to myself, how could you let that be the explanation? But freak accident, right? That's what my doctor told me out of her mouth. Oh, it was a freak accident. But she was perfectly healthy. The only thing that they, most likely, it was she got tangled up in her cord. So it was a cord accident, you know, something that can't be controlled. So that was the most answers that I got.
Wow. Well, thank you for sharing that. So I would love for you to talk about any tools or any resources that you use to really help you stay grounded.
And my biggest resources was praise and worship. Just going to church, going to my church and being part of the praise part. And just giving all of my worries to God and really building my faith. A book that was suggested to me, a lot of books were suggested to me, and, you know, a lot of them didn't help me quite as much. Like, I feel like it was one book, and it's a very popular book for that women read. And it was suggested to me by a mom who had lost her daughter. And when I read it, it didn't make me feel better. It made me feel more sad. So I was like, maybe these aren't the type of books that I need to read. But I read this one book, and it was called Overcoming Tough Times. And it's like a daily devotional. And it's basically about, what do you do when you want to question God? Like, what do you do when God puts you through tough times? You know, do you cower, or do you become victor? And so I think that book really helped me through. And then the It's another book that I really loved. It was like 40 Days to Happiness. And this is all about gratitude. And journaling really helped because you have a lot of thoughts in your mind and putting them down on paper just really gets them out. So like journaling really helped me. Praying and meditation really helped me. Like I said, my mom community really helped me get through. My family, my boyfriend has been the greatest support. And I'm going to say the number one support was therapy. I did start therapy through my grief journey, and I still see the same therapist to this day. So that has really, really helped me as well. Shortly after Miss Amari went to the other side of heaven, I found out I was pregnant with my rainbow baby. It had to be 11 weeks after, and it seemed really quick, and we were really shocked, and I was really anxious through the entire pregnancy, but I leaned in on God. Now I have, her name is Naomi, and she's Amari's little sister, and she is just the joy of our lives. She will be 7 months next week, and so she is just here in all of her busyness and silliness, and you know, she just really, she has helped me heal so much. She gives me a reason, and you know, we're so blessed. Like I said, the journey to getting her here was easy. Like I it was a very easy pregnancy. You know, I barely had any morning sickness, or like, it was just, even her labor and delivery was so easy. I think I woke up and I was like, I think I'm in labor. And yeah, I think I pushed like 3 times and there she was. And, you know, before I knew it, I was at home with my newborn baby. So, you know, it's been a wonderful journey. You know, I will say that grief and joy can coexist, you know, and it's just the way we live our lives. It's just what's normal for us. So just taking, you know, our situation and just being grateful for what we have, that's what really helped me on my motherhood journey. So
love the name Naomi. Yeah.
So yes, and we chose Naomi because, you know, her name basically means everything that is pleasant, everything that is joy and of God. It seemed fitting.
Yes, I love that. So as you know, we are in this time of uncertainty. We have mm-hmm. this pandemic that's going on. A lot of people are pregnant after their losses during this time.
Oh.
What encouraging words can you leave for those who are just, you know, unsure of what to do during this time of uncertainty?
I would say the number one thing that helps, that grounds me when it comes to uncertain times, because even now, like being a parent after loss, you still have like that anxiety or uncertainty. And what I'll say for me is like just finding a peaceful moment and asking yourselves these questions, like, do I know this to be true? Is this happening to me right now? And if it did happen, would I be able to survive it? Now, for me, I can answer yes to all those, you know? So that's really, I can answer no and then answer yes to will I be able to survive it? And that's what really helps me. And also having a support system and just really relaxing and knowing that no matter what, worrying about our troubles today just takes away the joy. It takes away the moment because those troubles will still be there tomorrow and the next day and the next day. So just living in the moment, appreciating what we have, and really, really showing that, like, the gratitude that you have in life and being thankful for what we have right here, right now. Because honestly, everything is uncertain. And so when you put it in those aspects, when you think about life in the grand scheme, it's like super uncertain no matter what you do. So I think that's what kind of like broadening that spectrum really helps me to like ground myself. And also taking a good long bubble bath and with some candles and some meditation, that helps as well. But, you know, just knowing also like everything's going to be okay.
Yes, it is. We got to have that self-care. Even when it looks like bubble baths and closing the door and not allow anybody in. So I love that you shared that. It is so key. So where can our listeners connect with you after this episode?
Sure. So I have an actual a mommy Instagram where I try to help, you know, or be a sounding board for those women who might need it. And it's on Instagram. It's heymama.co. So it's heymama.co. And it's basically just a sounding board to be like, hey, mama, I get it. Like, you know, and if you don't get it, let me help you try to get it. So it's kind of, you know, a new passion project of mine, because I've decided that we as a community, especially being a Black woman, we need to share our stories more, because I had not known this to happen to anyone until it happened to me. And then when it happens to you, you hear, oh, well, this happened and this happened and this happened. But it's like, but why is it a secret, right? Why is it shut in? Like, I want to be to someone what those moms were to me, you know, letting them know, like, this happened and we'll get through it together. And I'll hold your hand if you need me to.
I love that. So what's the Instagram handle again for everybody? And I'll make sure I link it in the description box and show notes.
No problem. It's heymama.co.
Awesome. Thank you so much, Whitney, for sharing your story on the podcast. I know that it's going to be a blessing to those ladies who may be battling PCOS.
Yes, thank you so much for having me. I really appreciate being able to share my story.
Awesome.
Thank you so much for listening to today's episode. For show notes and more information on today's guest, go to sistersinloss.com. If you have not joined our online community, go to sistersinloss.com, as well as sign up for our newsletter. We want you to be a part of the community so you can know all the events that we have planned on as Sisters in Loss. Go to sistersinloss.com, sign up for our newsletter, join our online community, and stay connected with us. Talk to you soon.
And now another no-brainer money-saving tip from Progressive.
Marcus, what happened?
I was changing my oil and I spilled some on the floor.
Oh, well, use these $50 bills to wipe it up.
Perfect. Got any more?
Yeah, take a couple hundred.
Stop. Instead of using money, use an old rag. And here's a better tip from Progressive on how not to waste money. Don't pay too much for car insurance. Drivers who switch and save could save hundreds. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Potential savings will vary.